Nat, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Steph. Thanks for having me.
No problem. All right, let's just get started. How did you first become interested in taxidermy?
Look, I wish I had a cool story, you know, about growing up in the country and being a nature lover and all of that sort of stuff. But that's not actually the truth. I grew up in the city and I had a job in insurance and finance. So I kind of came at it from left field. And I guess for me, it just started as a need to have a creative outlet outside of the corporate world. And, you know, I tried to dabble in a few different things, but essentially I wasn't very good at like singing or dancing or, you know, they weren't great creative outlets for me. and it was when I moved to Melbourne, actually, from Queensland, that I realised that there's some lovely shops down, you know, in places like Chapel Street, there was Chapel Street Bazaar and Tarlow and Graham, and they sold a few, essentially, I guess what you'd call curiosities, so maybe some skulls, taxidermy, things like that. And having come from, you know, a sheltered background in Queensland, I'd never seen things like that before. And it really fascinated me because it's this cool combination, I guess, of, you know, animals, science, natural history. And I took a few bits and pieces home. And I guess my interest really started when people would come round to my house and have an adverse reaction to it. I was really surprised by that. And it got me thinking that, you know, maybe this is something I'm interested in and perhaps I'd like to learn it. So I guess it came from, you know, a minor curiosity and kind of went from there.
Right. And so obviously developed more from a curiosity to towards a passion in building your business, Rest in Pieces. Do you want to tell us a bit about what you do with Rest in Pieces?
Yeah. So initially I started with just one taxidermy workshop on a Sunday once a month. But the problem with taxidermy is it tends to be like the gateway drug into the dying art. So you tend to like start with one discipline and then realize that, you know, there's a world of, you know, bones, and then there's, you know, wet specimens, and there's diaphanization where you can stain cartilage, and yeah, you know, there's plastination, corrosion casting. And so I guess taxidermy was my gateway drug per se, where I realized there's so much anatomy that can be preserved. There's so much interesting science. And so now, I guess 7 years after having started these, you know, small workshops once a month, we're now based in Melbourne and also Sydney. We opened up in Sydney during COVID because we couldn't teach here. And we, I guess, dabble in all of those disciplines that I just mentioned in terms of teaching people face-to-face, but also now obviously having to diversify like so many small businesses during COVID, we've started to release a lot of books, kits, educational videos, things like that, just to try and create access to this information that essentially hasn't existed in this country since the 1970s.
Fascinating. Do you think taxidermy is and these dying arts, as you call them, it's a misunderstood art or craft?
Yeah, definitely. I think just if we stick to taxidermy, the biggest thing is, you know, people assume that you're stuffing an animal. And historically, that was kind of true. Like an animal would be skinned and it was literally taken to an upholsterer who would then stuff it filled with, you know, cotton and cotton balls, rags, sawdust, which is why if anyone's listening has seen the book Crap Taxidermy, that's why essentially that book exists, because it looks crap because it's not anatomically correct. So a big misconception is that it's just about stuffing the skin, when in truth you have to be an incredible sculptor because you are creating a sculpture to then lay the skin over, the preserved skin. Taxidermy means, so taxi means arrange and dermy means skin, so it's the arrangement of skin. And the best taxidermists that I know in the world, they're amazing artists, sculptors, painters. They understand anatomy, they're nature lovers. So, you know, it's this really tactile and visceral skill set that maybe people don't understand. And then the second component to that, I guess, is I think people have a misconception that we're out hurting animals or we don't love animals, when on the contrary, we adore animals because you're studying them from the inside out every single day. The taxidermists that I know are some of the biggest conservationists, you know, that I've met anywhere in the world. There is a massive misconception about, and maybe it stems from trophy hunting and things like that. But definitely all the taxidermists I know have a tremendous love for animals. We're obsessed with them.
Mm. And how do you source your specimens that you use for taxidermy?
Yeah, good question. And I like it when people ask this because it is good to know where your specimens are coming from. So in some of our smaller classes where we're doing, you know, say rats, baby chicks, rabbits, they're all sourced frozen from pet stores, and they're sold as python feeding animals. So in Australia, it's legal to own, you know, gorgeous native snakes, and they need to be fed. So those animals are culled for the purpose of feeding the snakes. And we like to use them because we know that they're disease-free. They're going to be safe for our students. They're fairly good quality. But then we also use a lot of culled animals. So, you know, things like foxes and feral cats and things like that, because we have such an issue with introduced species in this country. We don't have any large predators. We're one of the only countries in the world that doesn't have any large predators. So the impact of introducing predators to Australia has such a massive implication on all of our small native wildlife. And so, you know, government culling programs exist, and we like to use specimens from those programs and teach preservation techniques through that.
Mm. Fascinating. And I think via my experience down there, I did a skeletal articulation, which, for people who don't know, it's constructing the skeleton of an animal, you know, using glue and tweezers and pins and things. And I did a mouse, which is one of the ones that you mentioned that you probably bought from a pet store or got from a supplier or something. And I think the reverence and the love of animals and things like that of yourself and the staff down there was, you know, palpable. You could tell that this wasn't about, you know, it's about giving new life to animals more so than, you know, celebrating, you know, death so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it, like I said, it's this, and we can't help but be passionate about it because it combines all of our main loves, like, you know, a love for animals, science is cool, and I think it's so important for there to be interesting people doing that and being role models for, you know, children to get them active in scientific fields. And it's also this amazing combination of art, you know. So it's kind of my three biggest loves all put together. And I, you know, I'm really grateful to find a medium of work where you can access all of those things. That's such a rarity.
Mm, fantastic. Now, you've got workshops and things like that happening down in Melbourne. Do you have any up in Sydney or around the state elsewhere at the moment?
Yeah, so we've got a few things coming up in Sydney. We've got a whole team based in Sydney now, which is awesome. So in May, we have our beginner baby chick workshop, which is taxidermy. And then we also just launched our insect preservation workshops, which are really cool because if people aren't sure if they want to dip their toe into, you know, say something like taxidermy or scrotal articulation where you had to do skinning and evisceration, if they want to see if, you know, these sorts of arts are for them, insect preservation is just a really cool way to put your toe in, see who the team are, meet other attendees, kind of learn our teaching model and see if it works for people. So we've got that coming up. That's also in May 16th. But then another cool thing that we're doing, we want to provide a platform where more people can access this information and go through a process of learning. So I've launched recently something called Dying to Know, and it's a live demonstration series. So they're really like low-cost online tutorials, or in the case of the one coming up, they're free behind-the-scenes tours. So on May 8th, I'm actually going to be in Sydney, and I'm going to the veterinary science lab at the Sydney University, and we will be doing a live streaming of all the facilities at the vet science lab. So we'll be going into the skeletal rooms. We'll be looking at all the plastination, all the corrosion casting, of all the animals. We'll be looking at wet specimens. So we're actually going to take an online virtual tour where people can ask questions and interact and really see just this amazing educational space, which wouldn't usually be available to the public. So we have tickets for free, as I said, on the website for people to jump in and access that live, you know, behind-the-scenes tour. And that'll be hosted by Gavin Berland, who's a member of our team, and he runs the Vet Science Lab there. So it's just really cool that he's going to open that space up to the public and, you know, bring your kids along, what have you. Just, it's a really cool space.
Yeah, sounds fascinating. Natalie, it's been great sort of delving into this world with you. Thank you so much for joining me on 2SER this morning.
Oh, thanks for having us, Steph, and I hope to see you at another class soon.
Yeah, maybe I'll articulate a baby chick or something like that next time.
Oh, we've got our quail class is coming up soon. We launch it, so that'll be the step up from the rat. So I hope to see you there.
Okay, thank you so much, Nat.
Thanks, Steph.